It's good to be here tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 15. Book of John chapter number 15. We do have two baptisms taking place next week. I was excited about that. I had two young ladies approach me after church. I believe both of them were saved at camp. And they approached me after church and said, "Hey, can we ask you for something?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And they told me, "Hey, can we get baptized next Sunday?" So we're going to do that next week and have a good time about that. One of them is Jenna, so Christy will probably want me to keep her underwater just for a tad bit longer. So we can arrange those things. No, haven't had no deaths yet. But let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 15. Now it's time for us to get serious here. We'll read down to verse number 8. Verse number 8 is going to be my focus tonight, but the rest of this stuff I could not get out of here without reading this. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, what a privilege it is to be back here, to be with your the people that you've allowed us to assemble with tonight, brothers and sisters, and we thank you for the love that we have for one another. God, I pray as we go into your word in these next few moments, we pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts once again. We thank you, Lord, for a tremendous day that you've already allowed us to be a part of. We thank you for the songs that were sung this morning. We thank you for the sweet fellowship that has taken place during the morning service and this evening service as well. Lord, may that continue to grow deeper with every single one of us here. Lord, we pray for the ones who are not able to be with us tonight. We think of Rachel especially. Lord, as she's having surgery in the morning, I pray that you just again watch over her, give her peace, give her comfort, be with the doctors as they do the procedure that will bring healing to her body, be with her family in the next couple weeks as they begin to be more of a help to her in her life as she needs it. And so, God, I pray that you'd give them the rest as well. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. To get caught up, we are covering the word speedy. The first week, we dealt with the letter S, and that stood for, does anybody remember? Support. I heard some of that. The second week, which was last week, we dealt with the letter P, which stands for participation, exactly. Tonight, we're going to deal with the letter E. And a reminder, this is how we believers are to be in church, and not just in church, but towards one another. And this can only happen when we begin to invest, not just into the church, but into the lives of each other as well. And I kind of hinted on that, just a little bit of that this morning. Yeah, we can sit back and gripe and complain about things, but how is that going to be a help to further the gospel? This chapter talks about who the vine is and who the branches are. It also gives us a very clear direction to what a branch is to be doing. To be a help to you tonight, it is our job clearly, given the scripture, that we are to be, here's a letter that we're going to be going over tonight, evangelizing. And we're going to be talking about how important it is for the branches of the tree to begin to bear fruit. If you were to walk downtown this evening and you were to go by our old post office, it's weird for me to even say that we have an old post office, but if you were to walk by there tonight or even drive by there on your way home, there is a tree on the north side of the building. And in the past couple of weeks, there has been something that has taken place to that tree that I've never noticed before until I saw the branches lying on the ground. If it wasn't for the branches lying on the ground, I would have never looked up this tree. But I looked up this tree because I saw some big branches lying there. And as I looked, the whole entire tree was dead. You know, that's some churches today. Some churches that are the branches of God are dead because they're not bearing fruit, because they have forgotten the importance of what it means to be evangelizing, going out into the community, being a help to the folks that need Jesus Christ. Evangelizing is important in our life, and you and I are called to do those things. Distributing the gospel wherever God leads you to do so. But how are we able to do this? I'm going to give us a few things that God gives us. God gives us a few ideas on how we are to evangelize. First, we will deal with the first important step, and that is this. And it's found in verse number 2. It says, every branch, what's the next two words? In me. In order for you and I to evangelize, we have to be in who? We got to be in Christ. Not in of ourselves, but we must be in him. And that is to be in him. The number two that we're going to look at, evangelizing isn't for the lost, but it is for the saved. God uses those who have a desire to be, to use those that want to be on the same team as he. The interesting thing is God created man in his image. It is only fitting that the picture is completed by us by being in him, that is found in verse number 2. To be in him is giving us a picture that we are grafted into him. And now that we are grafted in him, we have become the sons, and I'm going to throw this out there as well, the daughters of Jesus. And what a great place for us to be in. The second way this happens is by the word of God cleaning us. So we see here in verse number 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now verse number 3 says this, now ye are clean through the what? Through the word. Exactly. We are clean through the word. So this happens by God cleaning us, meaning all the filth and the sin that has separated us from God now has allowed us to be used by him. The third way that we will look at tonight is this, and is found in verse number 4. But let's read verse number 3. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse number 4 says this. It says, abide in who? It says, abide in me. So the fourth way that we are to be evangelizing is to be abiding in Christ. Being in him and abiding are two different meanings. Abiding is staying close to his side, putting yourself underneath the protection of his loving arms. We went through a little bit of that a few weeks ago, being in his shelter, being in his safety zone. So the protection of his loving arms, to abide in his shelter, a place of safety. Not only is it a place of safety, but it is a place of comfort as well. Not only is it a place of comfort, but it is a place of rest. Do you know that we should be going to God to get rest? And I'm not talking about physical rest, I'm talking about spiritual rest as well. So being in his loving arms of protection provides these things. To abide in him is saying that I am taking up residence in the home of God. That's what that is saying. And it's going on and it's making another statement, because you're going to abide and you're going to take up residence in his home. And now you're saying that you intend to stay and make it your home. And that's what we need to do. The purpose of evangelizing is to get us all to the point of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. And that's what we need to do in our life. We need to be fruit bearers. And I don't know when the last time it was for you that you bore fruit, but we need to bear some fruit. Amen? What does bearing fruit mean? Meaning that you're going to go out, you're going to evangelize. As you evangelize, you're going to give the gospel. And as that gospel is given out, people are going to hear the word of God. And when people hear the word of God, what's going to take place? Conviction's going to come in their life. And then because conviction that comes in their life, they're going to do two things. One, they're either going to deal with it and they're going to call upon God and they're going to seek forgiveness in his life. The other thing might take place is this. They might say, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with God. And so they make that choice to reject God. But the point is, you have watered, you have put that seed there, and you've watered that, and hopefully somebody else will come along and continue to do those things. But the purpose of evangelizing is to get us to bear fruit. It's the giving of the gospel to lost souls. Do you not think about people that you come in contact with every day? If they're, my mind wonders. And when I see folks, and here's how my mind works. Are they going to hell or are they going to heaven? How am I to know that if I don't make contact with them? How am I to know that if I don't go up and make conversation with them? But we allow fear to set in, and then that fear keeps us from going to evangelize to them. And so with that being said, because we have that fear, then the fruit-bearing process begins to suffer. And we don't want that to happen. So evangelizing is giving the gospel to lost souls. It's also giving the gospel, and I want you to think about this, to the wayward believer. There are believers that are backslidden. There are believers that don't have a heart that's right with God. There are believers that have accepted Christ as Savior. They have the salvation, but they don't have anything else that comes with that because they rejected God in another sense. And we call those backslidden or wayward believers. But you can use the gospel to get to them as well. The interesting thing about evangelizing is this. Jesus wants us to be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. He doesn't have to have us. Matter of fact, he doesn't need us, but he wants us. There's a difference there. He doesn't need our help, but he wants our help. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to have that desire, that same desire that he had when he was on this world doing God's business for the 33 years that he did it for. It wasn't for his benefit. Matter of fact, when you look at the life of Jesus, he did it to what? Glorify his Father. He didn't do things to glorify himself and to say, hey, look at the 5,000 that I fed, or hey, look at the man that I pulled out of the water. Look at what I can do. No, he didn't do those things. He didn't gloat about himself. He gloated about his Father because he was wanting to do the will of his Father. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. There are a few things that we're going to look at here this evening. Book of Matthew, chapter number 18. We're going to read verses number 19 through verse number 20 this evening. And I've known that we have dealt with distributing the gospel. I know that we have dealt with evangelizing to this world. I know that it seems like it sounds like a broken record, but there's a reason why we're doing these things. Because the world needs Jesus. You don't know this yet, but I'm just going to throw this out here before I get going in this verse. Last year, we had this discipleship class that really, it took off. And it was a great time. The women meeting with the women, the guys meeting with the guys. And there's a great time of study. There's a great time of fellowship. And now there's even more of a desire to continue that thing. Well, now we're going to shift gears coming this fall. And Lord willing, Kurt's going to give us, we haven't decided tonight yet, but Kurt's going to give us some lessons on how to be a soul winner. And I'm looking forward to that. Because for the last 20 years of his life, he's been in Pensacola, Florida, doing that very thing. And he's going to share with some things that will be beneficial to us so that we can go out into this community and begin to have more boldness, begin to have more wisdom, and as I said a few days ago or this morning, to begin to share our story of what Christ has done in our life. And that's what he's going to be a help in. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to those things. So, Kurt, you better get on it. But in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 19 through verse number 20, it says this. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." I wrote the wrong verses down once again. But anyway, let's read. "Again, I say unto you that if two or three shall agree on earth, it is touching anything that ye shall ask, shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." I went to the wrong verse. Go ahead and turn to chapter 28. I knew if I kept reading, it would come to me. Aren't you guys glad I was doing it? We'll begin reading verse number 18. Forgive me for making that mistake. But Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So the first thing that we are to go. That's what's required of us. The first part of this man is to go. Contrary to what we believe, we do not have a choice in this. We are commanded to go. Jesus has commanded us to do this. That also means that we don't age out on this either. It means we might have to refocus or might have to reshift on how we do some things so that the elderly can be involved. Can I give you a few ideas of how I believe the elderly can be used more than what they realize? Can I be a help to you tonight? There's phones out there. You know, what's stopping us from picking up our phones and calling people? And dialing somebody's number. You know, pastor said he's made some stories here in the past where an elderly in some church would just go through the phone book and begin to make calls to people they haven't even known. They would go from A to Z. And when someone answered that phone, they would begin to talk to them about Jesus Christ. So there are avenues that we can use. There's cards. There's letters that we can do. There's emails that we can do to be a witness to our community. Who likes getting cards in the mail? I enjoy getting cards in the mail. Matter of fact, when my birthday comes around, I enjoy getting cards. And if I don't get cards, I'm disappointed. I really am. After all, it's my birthday, and I should be recognized. Right? Isn't that how we feel? That's how we feel. But no, I enjoy getting cards. Think about this. Think of what a blessing you can be when you send a card in the mail and somebody opens it up. And there's a track inside. And that track is, hey, I can show you how you can accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. The elderly can be a help in this area. And we just got to retrain ourselves. And when God tells us to go, we need to go because that's what he's telling us to do. And then we need to go to the places where he leads us. So often we're scared to go to the places that aren't so desirable. But that's where God wants us to go. God wants us to go in areas that most people will not go into. God had a heart for them. We should have a heart for them as well. Amen? That's evangelizing. So wherever he leads us, wherever he tells us, that's where we need to go. Why? Because every soul needs Jesus. Greg, can I talk to you about you for a little bit? Just before church, he came to me and he showed me a track. Greg likes to do a lot of fishing, and he was fishing last night, and when he got done fishing, he came back to his truck. Guess what was on his truck? It was a track. Even though it had a different version on there, the gospel was still in there, and it was given to him, and they didn't know that Greg already had Jesus Christ, but you know what? That's exciting. So go. Do what God commands us, and it doesn't matter where we have to go. And to me, that's just exciting. I had a stuttering moment there. The second part to evangelizing is this. The Bible says here, verse number 19, it says, "Go ye therefore." And then the second part of this, it says, "and teach." The second part of evangelizing is being a teacher. These last few weeks has been a true joy on Wednesday nights. And some of you might say, "Are you ever going to shut up about Wednesday nights?" No, I'm not going to shut up about Wednesday nights. Because I enjoy what's going on. I enjoy the witness that's taking place. I enjoy the enthusiasm. I enjoy the fellowship that has taken place with that. I enjoy the fact that a young man got saved. And if you're going to get tired of me talking about a young man getting saved, then fooey on you, something's wrong. But a young man was saved out of that. And a young lady's very close to being saved. Thankful for those opportunities. But these last few weeks has been a true joy. Why has it been a true joy? Watching men use the gift of teaching that God has given them. You didn't realize you had that gift. Uncle Greg had no idea that he had that gift. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I had some of these guys volunteered, I was scared to death. And no offense, but I never heard him teach before. But Greg, he talked to me, he showed me what he's doing, and I said this, Greg, just remember their kids. You remember our conversation? But you know what? Greg come out, and he did a fantastic job. You know what I saw? I saw a man who had a heart for young people. I saw a man that God allowed him to use his gift that he wasn't able to use when he was involved in drugs and going down the wrong path. But God saved him from that path. God saved his soul. Matter of fact, I think you were saved before then, or you found what salvation was after the fact. But God has gloriously saved him from that lifestyle, and now he's able to come in years later and begin to teach these young people. And Jeff and I were talking. I said, man, I wish Dad was able to see this, because he would have been so proud of you. But he says something even a little sweeter. He goes, I wish Grandpa was here to see this. God is allowing men to use their gifts to do what? To teach. To teach. Matt taught here a few weeks ago, and the comment was from one of the kids, Matt's not so scary. I don't know if you knew, where's Matt at? I'm not seeing him right now. There he is. And he's not a scary guy. What I come to find out, Matt's got a heart for young people. Gary did the same thing. He used the gift that God gave him and began to teach these young people. And I saw a different side of Gary that I'd never seen before. And I was thrilled, and Jeff has stepped up, and I'm just so proud to be a part of guys who want to teach these young people. What are they teaching them? Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting about sitting down, and I don't care if you're in a group of kids, but there's nothing more exciting than sitting down and hearing the gospel being taught. So that's been exciting to see this take place. We don't know what the gift that we have if we don't seek God. Sometimes we've got to be trained in those areas. Also, it's very hard to know what your gift is when your focus is only on the things of this world. Do you realize the more that you are in church, the more you'll want to practice the gifts that God gave you? There's a lot of truth to that. And so, as you begin to evangelize, you're called to go, and then you're called to teach. Okay, so what are we to be teaching? We are to be teaching the world that they need Jesus as their Savior. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Matt actually used this verse here a few weeks ago. Romans chapter 10. Verse number 13 through verse number 14, it says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love this verse. And what I love about this verse, and here's what I do, I allow people to read this with their own eyes. I want them to see what the Word of God says. Goes on in verse number 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now listen to this. And how shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. Most of you don't realize this tonight, but you're preachers. Well, how's that? Because you're saved. And because you're saved, you're called to do what? To teach the world that they need Jesus Christ. Now, you're not going to hold some are not going to hold the office of a pastor, but you're called to preach. You mean women can preach? What's wrong with a woman giving the gospel out? Does it say in the Bible that a woman can't give the gospel out to another individual? No, it doesn't say that. So we are to be teaching the world that they need Jesus Christ. So how can they hear without a preacher? And here's what happens when the word is preached. It says this in verse number 13. When the word is preached, and when it is heard, and when they have understanding of it, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, that is part of evangelizing. That is part of getting out of our comfort zone. That's us not being so scared and not being so timid and going to the world, teaching them that they need Jesus Christ. And once you teach them, and when they hear it, and when it finally sinks in, here's what's going to take place, Lord willing. They're going to call upon the name of the Lord. Folks, how exciting it will be when you get into heaven and somebody's going to say, I am here because of Greg Love. What do you mean? Because Greg Love took the time to teach and preach to me what Jesus Christ was. I am here tonight because Nancy led me to the Lord. How exciting is that? But unfortunately, we don't see the importance of evangelizing. But that's what we're supposed to do. Go ye, and then we're to teach. I understand not every soul that we come in contact with and every soul that we preach or teach to will be saved. I understand those things. But there will be some who will reject the calling of God in their life. I feel so sorry for people who say, I'm going to wait until I'm on my deathbed. What if you don't get that chance? What if? I was talking to Shelly the other night because she was texting me back and forth with her nephew's grandma in a situation that she was in. And I told her this, to give her some words of comfort. I said, Shelly, keep talking to her, because I believe God gives everybody that last chance until their dying breath takes them. But what if? What if you're not able to call out and call upon God as your Lord and Savior? What if? Why would you take that chance? God doesn't send people to hell, but people are sent to hell because of their choice by not accepting Christ as their Savior. I wish we had an urgency today for the gospel to be spread the way we do for earthly things. The chances that we have to be the next great athlete, we put a lot of effort into that. We try to train our bodies and we try to prepare our bodies to be that next star athlete so that we can make it into the big time competition, whether it be the NFL, the NBA, or whatever sport that is out there. Or we put a lot of our thoughts and our ideas and a lot of our stamina into being the next wealthiest person here on earth. There's a small percentage that you might make it as the next athlete. There's a small percentage that you might be the wealthiest person on earth. But I will guarantee you this. When it comes to rejecting the gospel of God, going to hell will be 100%. That's why we should have an urgency to evangelize to the community that God has allowed us to be a part of. So how can a church be able to help those who evangelize? First, we need to redefine success for those who lead. Most people think that their gospel conversation isn't successful unless they lead a person to Christ. I used to think that for a long time. The truth is, success is not seeing someone saved. Success is simply sharing the gospel. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse number 6, it says this. Let me read verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Here's what I'm getting at in verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Success is simply sharing the gospel. God just simply wants us to plant, and then he will do the watering. And how does he do the watering? By us sharing the gospel and evangelizing. And anytime we do it, people, it is success. So the second thing is to realize sharing the gospel isn't about us. It's not about us. It's about Christ. And I'll explain this here. Fear keeps us from sharing the word. Fear leads us to worry about how someone will respond if we share the gospel. Am I the only one who's felt that way at times? I thought, well, I'm not going to share the gospel with them because I'm afraid of how they're going to respond. I'm afraid, well, they might think that I'm weird. They might think that I'm just this weird person that has some disease and they don't want to have anything to do with me after I present that. I've had those fears. But fear keeps us from sharing the word. Fear leads us to worry about how someone will respond if we share the gospel. But Satan will get us to doubt ourselves. And doubt and uncertainty will make us believe we don't know enough to share the gospel. I have been in that situation. I have gone door knocking with some pastors and some other friends of mine. And I've let them take the lead, and for this reason. Because I felt the doubt come in, uncertainty set in, and I'm saying to myself, I do not know enough to share the gospel. That's exactly what Satan's trying to do with every single one of us. He's trying to get you to doubt your ability to evangelize and to give the gospel to the world that needs it. And we give in to our fear. We exist to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. A question was asked to me years ago, and I'll never forget the man who asked this. It was a good friend of mine. And it was weird how we became friends. I have known him for a long time, just being involved with my wife's family. He was kind of a dear friend of his, of her grandma. And we became close during the time that as we traveled back and forth. Something happened here a few years ago. It's been about 10, 12 years ago. His mom was in a very bad accident, and she passed away. And I believe another relative of his passed away, and they lived in North Carolina. And I caught wind of it, and they had to come to Omaha to fly out here real quick. And I left the night before, about 10 o'clock to get there because they had to be here at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that, what took place there really kicked off our friendship. He's been a sweet friend for many years. But here's what he asked me. He said this, how do people know so much about your dad? And I just was taken back by this question. I didn't really know how to answer this because, one, he's from the South. I didn't really know what he's getting at. And I didn't know if he's yanking my chain or whatever. But here was my reply to him. Okay, the question is this again. How do people know so much about your dad? And here's my response. Because I talk about him. He says, that's exactly right. People know about your dad because you talk about your dad, and because you're talking about your dad to other people, you're making your dad famous. Folks, that's what we need to do with Jesus Christ. We exist to make him known. We exist to make him more popular. We exist to make him more famous in this world. And how are we going to do those things when we don't have the urgency to evangelize? There should be an urgency. Third, we need to help people understand their purpose. We get to do a lot of things in a day. But what if knowing Jesus and making him known will set the agenda for everything we do? After all, it is our job to make him more famous than what he is. The fourth thing is the church should be praying for opportunities. You had to have known that I was going to get to praying. You had to know. That should be a give me. But it is amazing to think of how many opportunities we miss out on simply because we do not ask God for them. Turn your Bibles to the book of James chapter 4. Verse number 2 says this, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight in war." And here's what this says. "Yet ye have not." Why? "Because ye ask not." We need to be praying for opportunities to come our way every single day. Greg said something a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry for picking on you, Greg, but sometimes you give me some good ammo. And this is good ammo. He was feeling bad a couple weeks ago because he felt like he missed out on a divine appointment. And I know it bugged him. And I know it's still bugging him. Folks, that's how we ought to be. What do you mean? We ought to have that urgency. We ought to have that desire to give the gospel to this world. 5 and 6 I will combine just for the sake of time. We'll choose a simple method for sharing the gospel. We don't need to make it difficult. Sometimes we make things too complicated. 6, share your story of how Christ saved you and tell of your stories of how he is still working in your life. And I will end with this. It's okay to be bragging upon God. It's okay to let people know the work that God is doing in your life. Folks, we should have a desire to evangelize the gospel to this world. And if we don't, there is something wrong with us. I don't want you to go by this tree that's by our old post office and you see a tree that's dead, a tree that's no longer useful. Because you know what happens to those trees? The branches begin to fall off. People get hurt in the mist. By the way, some of you guys don't know this, but this week here in Council Bluffs, a guy was driving by and a tree fell right on his car. How'd that happen? Well, the tree was dying. We don't want to be a dying church. We don't want to have our branches being out there and all of a sudden there's no fruit and they're falling off one by one by one. We should be a church wanting to bear fruit. And how do we do that? By allowing God to work in our life and going to places where he wants us to go, teaching people that need to be taught. That's what we need to do. We need to evangelize. Amen? Let's stand and have a word of prayer, and we will be dismissed tonight. Lord, again, we are grateful that we're able to be here tonight. I thank you for your people. I thank you for the love that they have for you, their faithfulness for you. Lord, I pray as we go about our separate ways tonight that you would give us safety throughout this week. Lord, we know it's going to be another hot week for us. We pray for our young people as we assemble once again this Wednesday night. Lord, help us to take more of a part in their life. Lord, let them know that we care and love them very much. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Mike as he comes in this weekend to minister to our hearts. I pray that you just give him the rest that he needs. Lord, as been mentioned, there are some folks that are tired here tonight. So, God, I pray that you just give them a good night of rest as well. Bless the fellowship that's about to follow. And, Lord, we just thank you tonight, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen.